ocurría el año 1902 y un joven mendocino llamado Gavino Coria Peñalosa, de 20 años, de alma bohemia, poeta y escritor, recorría el lomo de caballo el trayecto entre Chilecito y San Luis. El joven poeta trabajaba como cobrador y recaudador de impuestos. Un paso obligado para este joven era la localidad de Olta, en La Rioja, un pueblo que entonces tenía 500 habitantes, del cual era oriunda su madre, y en el cual, 4 décadas atrás, la cabeza de su tatarabuelo había sido clavada en la punta de una lanza y exhibida por días en la plaza. El joven poeta y recaudador Gavino Coria Peñalosa era descendiente del afamado caudillo riojano Ángel Vicente el Chacho Peñalosa. En uno de estos acostumbrados viajes, una gran crecida de un río impidió que el joven pudiese continuar su ruta y se vio obligado a quedarse unos días en el pueblo de Olta. Como el joven Gavino era un muchacho muy sociable, se hizo rápidamente de amigos y fue invitado a una tertulia, una suerte de reunión social donde se bebía y se platicaba. Estas tertulias se llevaban a cabo en un enorme caserón conocido como la Casa de las Niñas Córdoba. Lógicamente, Gavino participó de esta reunión. Él se encontraba muy a gusto aquella tarde conversando con los presentes, cuando de repente divisó un piano contra la pared. Gavino quedó maravillado ante el imponente instrumento. Cabe destacar que en la época no era común encontrar un piano en una casa del interior de Argentina, ya que era un bien sumamente costoso y muy difícil de conseguir. Ese piano, que para entonces era el único piano en toda la provincia de La Rioja, era un instrumento de origen estadounidense, de marca Stevenson, fabricado en New York. El pesado piano había llegado a Chile a bordo de un barco y de allí había cruzado la cordillera de los Andes a lomo de mulas para luego ser instalado en ese salón de ese caserón riojano. Gavino enloqueció ante la presencia de este imponente instrumento y preguntó a los presentes si alguien sabía tocarlo. La dueña del piano era una mujer, profesora de música, que estaba en la tertulia. Pero como ésta se encontraba de duelo tras el fallecimiento de un ser querido, se negó a tocarlo. Razón por la cual mandaron a llamar a una de sus mejores alumnas, una jovencita de apenas 15 años que vivía cerca. En menos de una hora, la adolescente se hizo presente en el salón para interpretar algunas piezas. Esta jovencita, de nombre María, deslumbró al joven Gavino, ya que en ella se resumía la belleza, la juventud, la delicadeza y la magia de un excelente pianista. Tras la interpretación de un par de obras y el aplauso de todos los presentes, Gavino no dudó en acercarse a ella y presentarse. Y en ese momento, el flechazo fue mutuo. Al día siguiente de la tertulia, el río seguía crecido, pero eso ya no le preocupaba a Gavino. Utilizó el tiempo en Olta para conocer y cortejar a la joven pianista. Como el interés era mutuo, Gavino y María decidieron escaparse de las miradas del pueblo para encontrarse en secreto en un sendero desolado que unía a la localidad de Olta con Loma Blanca. Caminito que los llevaba por medio de una tupida vegetación cerca de un cauce de agua donde se sentaban a charlar. Estos encuentros eran en total secreto, ya que María había sido comprometida por sus padres con un militar de alto rango. La familia de la niña jamás hubiera aceptado la relación entre el joven Gavino y su hija. Pasaban los días. Gavino y María aprovechaban cada minuto, sabiendo que en cualquier momento el río volvería a su cauce y Gavino tendría que partir para continuar sus trabajos. Los jóvenes habían consumado su amor y tan solo ese sendero, ese Caminito Desolado, había sido testigo de su secreto. Y así fue. Las aguas del río bajaron y Gabino le prometió a María que tras cumplir con sus obligaciones regresaría al pueblo para pedir su mano y así poder casarse con ella. A los 5 meses, Gabino regresó ilusionado a Olta con la firme intención de enfrentar a sus padres. Pero tras golpear la puerta de la casa de María, recibió la noticia de que la niña ya no vivía en aquel lugar. Los padres se habían enterado del amorío y decidieron enviarla a otra provincia. Gabino, totalmente angustiado por esto, suplicó saber el paradero de su amada, pero esa información le fue negada. Inclusive fue echado de la casa, advirtiéndole que jamás volviera allí, ya que María estaba comprometida con un importante militar. Ese día Gabino deambuló dolido por el pueblo, por aquellos lugares que fueron testigos de su romance. La acequia, la arboleda, en especial aquel callado caminito que juntos un día, muy enamorados, los vio pasar. Gabino entendió que no tenía sentido seguir en aquel lugar e inmediatamente preparó el caballo para marcharse. Pero justo cuando cruzaba la plaza principal de Olta, uno de los habitantes se acercó para darle una noticia aún más angustiante. «Gabino», le dijo, «a María la llevaron lejos porque está embarazada. Yo mismo la vi cuando la subieron a la carreta». Gabino sintió inmediatamente que ese hijo que su amada llevaba en su vientre era de él. Pero no había nada que hacer. Los padres de María eran los únicos que sabían el paradero de la joven y jamás se lo revelarían. A los pocos días, en una mesa de un cuarto de una localidad cercana, Gabino alivió su pena escribiendo unos versos que decían: «Caminito que el tiempo ha borrado, que juntos un día nos viste pasar, he venido por última vez, he venido a contarte mi mal». Tras terminar este sentido poema, lo tituló bajo el nombre de Caminito, en honor a ese sendero donde había sido tan feliz. Luego dobló el papel y lo guardó por años en su viajada maleta. En los años 20, Gabino ya se encontraba viviendo en Buenos Aires. Allí, ya un hombre adulto, había dado rienda suelta a su faceta artística y bohemia. Trabajaba para diferentes medios gráficos, como ser la afamada revista Caras y Caretas, El Mundo e inclusive en el diario La Nación. Y en ese ambiente bohemio se codeaba con artistas como Carlos Gardel, Quinquela Martín, Luis Teixeira y Juan de Dios Filiberto. Con este último comenzó a trabajar como letrista. Filiberto y Gabino crearon tangos como El Pañuelito, El Besito, La Cartita, entre otros. Varios de estos fueron grabados por Carlos Gardel. En 1926, esta dupla creadora de Juan de Dios Filiberto y Gabino Coria Peñalosa deciden participar de un concurso de tangos inéditos. El músico Juan de Dios Filiberto, que vivía en el barrio de La Boca, le comenta a Gabino que tenía una melodía que había compuesto una tarde cuando regresaba del trabajo. Le dijo: «¿Viste, Gabino, esa callejuela que hay en La Boca? Bueno, una tarde regresaba a mi casa y justo allí crucé una piba preciosa, pero no me animé a decirle nada y nunca más la volví a ver. Ni siquiera pude saber quién era, pero esa piba me inspiró tanto, tanto, que una tarde le compuse una melodía. Y me gustaría presentar esa melodía en el concurso de tangos». Inmediatamente Gabino le respondió: «Mira qué casualidad, Yo tengo unos versos que también hablan sobre una mujer hermosa y sobre un caminito. El músico tomó esos versos que Gabino tenía guardado por más de 15 años y los hizo ensamblar con su melodía. Ambas obras, tanto la música como la poesía, habían sido inspiradas por dos mujeres diferentes, en dos caminos diferentes, pero con una nostalgia similar. Cuentan que el músico Filiberto estaba muy satisfecho con ese ensamble que había conseguido entre su música y la poesía de Gabino, pero que no estaba conforme con el título del tango. Le dijo a Gabino que el título Caminito no le decía nada y que iba a cambiarlo. Pero el poeta se opuso rotundamente y hasta llegó a decirle que si el tango no llevaba el título de Caminito, no usara sus versos. Razón por la cual el músico tuvo que respetar a regañadientes el título original de la poesía. La obra Caminito se presentó en 1926 en dicho concurso de tangos y ganó el primer premio. Los jueces estaban fascinados con la obra, pero el público no. Eran tiempos de tangos fuertes, de poesías arrabaleras, y Caminito le sonaba muy dulce y muy soso para la época. A tal punto que cuando el tango fue presentado al público, este fue abucheado. Carlos Gardel, que era amigo de esta dupla creadora y que ya había grabado alguno de sus tangos, no dudó ni un momento y les grabó Caminito. Los creadores creían que al ser grabados por el Zorzal, el tango sería ampliamente aceptado por el público, pero no resultó. La primera grabación de Caminito de Carlos Gardel pasó sin penas ni glorias. Pero la historia de la música popular nos ha demostrado repetidamente que una obra, que una canción, más allá de su calidad, necesita llegar al lugar y en el momento indicado para convertirse en un éxito. En 1927, el cantor y actor Ignacio Corsini integra el tango Caminito dentro de una obra teatral cómica picaresca en la que participaba. Específicamente, la obra teatral finalizaba con Corsini cantando el tango Caminito. Y por alguna razón, quizás por el ambiente que había creado esta pieza teatral, el público se emociona y ovaciona a Corsini tras la interpretación de este tango. Corsini, al ver semejante aceptación de Caminito, decide grabarlo y la obra se comienza a popularizar. Ante este suceso, Gardel insiste y regraba Caminito, pero esta vez con una mejor tecnología y calidad de sonido. Y a partir de ese momento, el éxito de Caminito se disparó a niveles impensados.
Desde que se fue, triste mi gozo, Caminito amigo, sos también me voy.
El tango Caminito, junto a La Comparsita y A Por Una Cabeza, son los tres tangos más famosos a nivel internacional. El tango Caminito fue traducido al japonés, al italiano, al polaco y al alemán. Y fue interpretado y grabado por grandes estrellas de la canción nacional e internacional, como ser Ignacio Corsini, Carlos Gardel, Hugo del Carril, las afamadas orquestas de Alfredo de Angelis, Juan Canaro, José Basso, Leopoldo Federico, Osvaldo Pugliese, como así también artistas como Lolita Torres, Libertad Lamarque, Plácido Domingo, inclusive fue grabado por el actor italiano Marcello Mastroianni y también por intérpretes contemporáneos como Julio Iglesias y Ricardo Montaner.
Caminito que el tiempo ha borrado, que juntos un día nos viste pasar.
He venido por última vez. He venido a contarte mi mal.
Gabinito, que entonces estabas bordeado de trébol y juncos en flores.
Una sombra ya pronto será. infinito amigo, yo también me voy.
Desde que se fue, triste vivo yo.
Décadas después surgió la gran confusión, ya que algunos comunicadores o guías turísticos mal informados o malintencionados decían que el tango Caminito se había inspirado en una historia de amor que había transcurrido en aquella callejuela del barrio de La Boca. Lo cual es totalmente falso, porque esa callecita del barrio de La Boca recibió el nombre de Caminito recién en 1959. Tres décadas después de que Gabino y Filiberto registraran el tango Caminito. Pero muchas veces no decir la verdad es una excelente estrategia para atraer turistas. Placas y carteles en pleno paseo de Caminito de La Boca no son muy claros con la información y dan la impresión que buscan más confundir que informar. Lo correcto sería aclarar que en aquella callecita del barrio de La Boca se inspiró el músico Juan de Dios Filiberto para crear la melodía que luego compondría dicho tango, pero que su poesía, de título original Caminito, fue escrita por el poeta mendocino Gabino Coria Peñalosa en los primeros años del siglo XX, inspirado en una historia de amor propia que transcurrió en un recóndito caminito de un pueblo de la provincia de La Rioja. El pueblo de Olta revalorizó aquel sendero que fue testigo de ese amor entre Gabino y María. Actualmente es un punto turístico de La Rioja y allí se encuentra cartelería que informa de manera fehaciente la historia del tango Caminito. El poeta Gabino Coria Peñalosa pudo disfrutar de las regalías y del honor de ser uno de los creadores de uno de los tangos más internacionales de la música ciudadana argentina. Pero muy a su pesar, jamás pudo reencontrarse con su musa, la bella María. De ese gran amor que se consumó en aquel recóndito y desolado caminito, Gabino dio a luz una poesía que le dio fama y prestigio internacional. Y María habría dado a luz a un hijo que jamás conoció a su verdadero padre. Según trascendidos, el nombre completo de aquella joven habría sido María Rogelia Ortiz y habría sido trasladada a la provincia de Córdoba, donde dio a luz a su hijo. A posterior, ella habría contraído matrimonio y se cree que el niño, hijo biológico de Gabino, fue criado como hijo natural del matrimonio. Según Álvaro Coria Peñalosa, nieto del poeta, Gabino formó una familia en Buenos Aires, pero luego se divorció y se volvió a casar. Y en su adultez, el hombre retornó a La Rioja y se instaló en la localidad de Chilecito, donde vivió hasta los 94 años. El nieto del poeta también comentó en diferentes entrevistas que aquel piano que fue el causante de aquel encuentro estaría en la provincia de Córdoba, en posesión de los descendientes de María. Caminito es uno de los tangos más famosos y más difundidos durante el siglo XX, y seguramente María lo escuchó más de una vez. Y de ahí surge un interrogante. ¿María llegó a enterarse que esos versos que cantaba el mismísimo Carlos Gardel habían sido escritos para ella? ¿O murió sin saberlo?
Caminito que el tiempo ha borrado, que juntos un día nos viste pasar. He venido por última vez, he venido a contarte mi mal. Caminito que entonces estabas bordeado de trébol y juncos en flor, una sombra ya pronto será, un
una sombra lo mismo que esta. Desde que se fue, triste mi bolso, caminito amigo, yo también me voy. Desde que se fue, volvió, seguiré su paso, caminito adiós, caminito que todas las tardes feliz recorría cantando mi amor. No le digas si vuelve a pasar, que mi llanto tu suelo regó. Caminito cubierto de cardo, la mano del tiempo tu huella borró. Yo a tu lado quisiera caer y que el tiempo nos mate a los dos. Desde que se fue, triste vivo yo. Caminito amigo, yo también me voy. Desde que se fue, nunca más volvió. Seguiré sus pasos, caminito adiós.
Históricamente ocuparon el terror para mantenernos en la desigualdad. Sin embargo, lo que hemos logrado hasta ahora no puede quedar en nada. Estamos por ganar una batalla que vienen dando nuestros abuelos y abuelas hace muchos años. Y hoy está en nuestras manos construir un Chile más justo y democrático. Podrán arrebatarnos muchas cosas, pero nunca la esperanza y la dignidad.
Son globos oculares menos, revelo ante Dios el vuelo sin miedo. Hoy sigo vivo aquí, la policía mata, viola y nadie está ni aquí. Yo apruebo por la dignidad, mi pueblo llegará por fin. Vengo del sur a los pies del volcán con mi clan. Revolución armando un nuevo plan a nivel nacional, el cambio radical. Tú súmate por un Chile en equidad.
Y yo brindo por la mujer de mi family, por los derechos de la vida y estos baches que me puso, sí, el corazón a más de mil. Mi gente es gentil y tu escopeta apuntándome a mí. Poeta pobre, bravo y breve, tu poder me conmueve. Yo apruebo forever y de lo contrario never. Te asusta este power y mi newe. Soy nieto de mi abuela, así que apruebe.
Vamos con todo y todos por el apruebo. Nueva constitución, queremos un cambio luego. Dignidad y valores, cambio de pensamiento. Esto es para nuestros hijos, esto es para nuestros nietos. Yeah, libertad de expresión. No queremos más abusos por dar nuestra opinión. Respeto al pueblo mapuche y la tradición, que da cara al enemigo y a la represión. Oh, yeah.
Pueblo callado y oprimido despertó a defender la tierra de la explotación. Con leyes bien hechas, dignidad en la pensión, derecho a la vivienda, la salud y educación. Pluricultural con visión espiritual, para reconocer el patrimonio ancestral. Dejar en paz crecer la flor del araucano, regada con sangre por la mano del tirano.
Son los ojos de los caídos, por buen ante Gatica, Daniela Castillo, a quien no, no se olvida el estallido. Enemigo de la corrupción del Paco asesino. La libertad de mi alma no lo compra tu efectivo. La vida que se perdió está contigo. Conmigo el pueblo no olvida todo lo que ha sucedido. Hasta la justicia recibe.
recibirá su propio castigo.
Ahora con todo a destruir el legado del tirano y de una a construir.
Ser consecuente en la manera fiera, porque toda esta mierda la queremos fuera.
Crisis, instancia, histórico momento, que no exista excusa, loco, no queda pretexto.
La metralla está en el texto, lo mezclo, el rap, mi arte, apruebo, perfecto.
Por los menores, por los perdidos, por los que saben bien lo que es el hambre, lo que es frío.
Por nuestra pobla, por nuestra gente, por los que luchan todos los días y que van de frente.
Con el objetivo claro, encaro al Paco, incito al odio y le devuelvo su disparo. Con el objetivo claro, encaro al Paco, incito al odio y le devuelvo su disparo.
Es tiempo de cambiar el privilegio de unos pocos, quienes por muchos años siempre se hicieron los locos. Queremos igualdad y también los mismos derechos, a una buena salud, educación, dalo por hecho. Es triste ver al pobre con un salario de mierda, o levante las manos que esta lucha no se pierda. Por un chile más justo, ahora es cuando yo me atrevo. Cantemos todos juntos, vamos por el apruebo.
APRUEBO, la voz de mi pueblo suena fuerte en el bronce. El presente es nuestro, por los que murieron y sus ojos perdieron dando vida. Estamos claros, sabemos lo que hay que hacer. Un futuro diferente podemos ver.
Oye, yo voy por el apruebo, por los niños del Sename y también por los abuelos. Por el obrero acogotado sin dinero, por toda injusticia todos juntos venceremos. Para que haya mayor igualdad, educación de calidad sin tanta autoridad. El pueblo busca facilidad y que el Estado nos devuelva la dignidad.
Hoy levantamos la voz, el nombre de los que no pueden. La gente sacó las garras, firme se mantiene, no hay quien frene la estampida. Lucha de sangre y sudor, las cacerolas hicieron bulla, ruido de revolución. Somos el poblador que se aburrió de las migajas, la feriante que la lucha y en el sistema no encaja. Fallo de pata en la raja, el apruebo es tu fracaso. A la mierda con tus leyes, tu gobierno y tu rechazo.
Que no hay leyes de son. Escopeta apuntándome a mí.
Fuego.
Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Amanda Dawn Christie telling you that if you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, July the 3rd, and we wish all our American friends a happy 4th of July coming up tomorrow. And here in Canada, we're still celebrating July 1st yes. Weekend, making a long weekend out of it. So I know there's a lot of tourists in town. The Jazz Fest is going on in Montreal, so it's a busy time, and we're getting that typical humid weather starting up here in Montreal. So it's a good time to be here. So we say hello to anybody that might be visiting from out of town as well. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We are here every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. Our show is live streaming and archived on the website of CKUT Radio in Montreal, ckut.ca. Our Facebook page is International Radio Report. We welcome Rodney, Nico, Joseph, and Rodney, this week, 806 members. And our YouTube channel, which you can find, International Radio Report, has 659 subscribers. And you can find past editions of our show there, including a new show each week, not too long after you hear it on the air. So we will get going with a few interesting stories from around the world this week, starting off over in France, where there's some interesting developments on both the TV and radio scene.
Yep, so French TV and radio stations strike over plan to end the license fee. This is by Emma Morgan, The Connection, and via Mike Terry and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. Staff at France Télévisions and Radio France went on strike on June 28th in protest against plans to scrap the Contribution pour l'Audiovisuel, a public license fee. The fee, also called the Redevance Audiovisuelle, currently funds France Télévisions, France 2, France 3, France 5, Radio France, France Inter, France Info, France Culture, France Musique, and the art and international media, such as France 24 and Radio France International. One of President Emmanuel Macron's re-election pledges was the elimination of the Redevance Audiovisuelle, which cost around 23 million metropolitan French households 138 euros a year. Precise details of the move to scrap the fee have yet to be fully clarified, but a law containing the legislation for it is expected to be put to Parliament now that MPs have begun their terms following the legislative elections. This plan is viewed by opponents as a threat to the independence of the channels in question. It has also raised concerns over funding of French television and radio stations. Some 3.2 billion euros of the 3.8 billion euros which goes into funding these organizations comes from the redevance. The remaining 600 million euros being provided by the state to make up for the non-payment of the most deprived households. The government has said that by the end of the license fee will not lead to a drop in funding, but it is unclear where the money will be sourced if not from viewers and listeners. Unions have also said that eliminating the redevance means impoverishing and jeopardizing public audiovisual media by shifting it into the state's general budget and therefore making it vulnerable to arbitration and incessant political pressures. The prospect of the dismantling of these public services for the benefit of the private sector where media moguls rule is unbearable. It is with regards to the level of independence and the quality of information shared by the media that we measure the maturity of a democracy. A 2021 American study on the state of media in 23 different countries has shown that significant investments in news organizations, in addition to structures designed to protect their political and economic independence, is conducive to a healthy democracy. The strike has meant that music replaced the usual morning programs on radio stations such as France Info. France 2 was showing repeats. The strike is led by CGT, CFDT, and many other different unions, with a demonstration expected at midday in Montparnasse, Paris. Protesters will head in the direction of the Assemblée Nationale. France Info website operations will also be disrupted, as those of France 24. Unions are calling for a universal tax for audiovisual media, which will be at least equal to the current amount, as well as dedicated funding to fight against fake news. Well, that resumes in a few things. What I always say when we start thinking of media, of news, and of news outlets, of radio stations and TV as a dollar amount, it's always a huge problem because we need to have these going alive and well because we need to have fair sources of news. it is interesting because here in North America, we are not used to that, thinking that, you know, you're going to pay a fee for a license to have media or radio and have to do that. So, it was like a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the BBC also with their license fee removal. I mean, it seems to be something that is going on in many countries. And then where does the money come from after that?
Yeah, I think we're not really used to something like that. We have the one national network, which is in English and French, both radio and television. But the rest of the networks across the country are all independently owned broadcasters. So we're not familiar. I mean, CBC Radio Canada is paid for by us, but it's indirectly. We're not being given a bill to pay every year. It is paid for from tax dollars. So, it's coming out of one big pot rather than being specifically tagged, to each individual. But this is something that's much more common in other countries. So we're seeing two of the major ones, Britain and France, both looking, changing up that system. And like you said, when the dollars aren't there, it's going to have a major impact on what people are able to hear. And speaking of the BBC, we have a little bit of news. We know we have a lot of people that are known as QSL hunters. For those not familiar with that term, radio stations around the world for many, many years, going back decades, would accept reception reports from listeners. And in turn, the stations would send the listener a confirmation card. Basically, it was like a little postcard or maybe a letter or something like that, and maybe a few little trinkets or souvenirs from the station. Well, that's something that's gone by the wayside with a lot of stations. Cost, postage costs, staffing issues, that sort of thing. There are still some stations that do QSL, but what's become a new tool for QSL hunters is EQSLs or electronic QSLs. It's something that's showing up in the ham radio world. Well, now it's starting to show up with some of the broadcasters as well. And Chris Greenway, who's with BBC, I believe, via Glenhouser's World of Radio, is reporting that the BBC is now accepting online reception reports and issuing EQSLs. So there is a website, eqsl.tools.bbc.co.uk. And we'll put that link on our Facebook page for you. Now, I took a look at it, and we were talking about it before the show. It does look like it's sort of a robot operation. You file your report online, and some people were saying they were getting the answer back, the EQSL, quite quickly. It does seem to be some sort of automated system. I don't know if that means the reports are actually being checked or not, or you send a report and it just automatically fires off a report, an EQSL for you.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to try to
get
one with a fake report and see if it actually verifies anything, because they could kind of just verify frequencies and times if they match.
I forget exactly how much detail they're putting into the card as well. I'm not sure. Are they putting the transmitter site and all of that, or is that up to you to input that?
I think that's us to input that, but no, that's interesting. I'm going to have to try it. I'm going to get an EQ. I got the real QSLs for those that, unfortunately... I'm sorry. I know you guys are jealous of that, but
but ours have dust on them. They go way back.
Yes, they do.
From when we were able to get cards from so many of the stations, but
it's interesting.
Yeah, things change.
Because there's one thing that I wonder about this is why take the time to do this? And I was wondering if, just out of curiosity, they didn't do it just because it's a measure of audience in some way.
That's possibly one thing, and probably one thing, I would think, and maybe just a little bit of PR, audience relations sort of thing. If it's something that they can do very easily without much cost associated with it, then, it'll keep some people happy. Anyways, nice to see that they've done something. It's more than some stations are doing right now. So
absolutely.
If you're a fast food junkie, you might be very worried about the headline in this story. It says chip shortage. No, Frito-Lay's is not gone on strike. We're not talking about potato chips here. We're talking about computer chips and electronic chips. So the headline, chip shortage likely to cause low Texan inventory. This coming from the SW Elling blog. This is Tom Witherspoon's site. It says, I received a message from a reader recently regarding the Texan PL330 radio, shortwave radio. They pointed out that Texan listed the PL330 as discontinued, but I've confirmed that this is not the case. This is simply a poor translation or choice of words. The PL330 is still very much in production. However, I also learned the global chip shortage is hitting Texan and most other radio manufacturers quite hard right now. I checked with Anna at Anonco, and she confirmed that they still have inventory of the PL330 and other Texan models, but the chip shortage will almost certainly affect radio availability once her existing inventory is depleted. I'm not sure any of us would be surprised to learn this because the chip shortage is having impact across multiple industries, and modern DSP shortwave receivers are very chip dependent. I follow economic news pretty closely, and most experts agree that the chip shortage may create issues for the next year or even two. Indeed, there's even a shortage of chips to make chips. No worries and no need to panic, though, as we'll all get through this. I would suggest not waiting to bite the bullet if you've been planning to purchase a new DSP-based portable radio in the near future. So, Jill, you're a techie computer guy. I guess you can give a little more background into this.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, these radios, most radios today, actually, almost, I'd say in 80% of the receivers you can buy online, the portables, have a DSP-based chip. The radio has a little integrated circuit that is a full radio within a chip, and that has been kind of the basics of most receivers lately, as it probably makes these receivers less expensive, and they perform really well. Now, of course, every type of electronics is having problems with chip. If you buy a computer, you'll see that maybe your favorite computer is not going to be available. Now we see it hit with radio. There are manufacturers, also other manufacturers, that did discontinue some models of receivers because they just couldn't get the parts. So ICOM was hit, C-Crane is hit also with a couple of models that they discontinued just because can't get parts, and can't even get parts to get them fixed if it breaks down. So it's having an impact, and it's interesting, you know, apparently, according to some people, there shouldn't be any shortwave radios sold out there because nobody's listening, but I guess, you know, people must be buying them because there's going to be maybe a shortage.
Yeah, you know, there should be a whole bunch of stock sitting around, you know, that's been there for years because nobody would want them. But we seem to think that's not necessarily the case. And I think we'll get to a story in the second half here that may prove some of what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's been some interesting propagation, and you had some interesting results from it as well.
Yep, I actually this week had the opportunity to hear a station on FM from Orlando, Florida. And, you know, I'm living in Montreal, Canada, so that's kind of far away for the FM band. You know, I've tried the FM band to DX in the past. I've never had anything else than maybe a couple of hundred kilometers of distance from sometimes when there's tropospheric ducting, stuff like that. And it all started with one little detail. I was listening to 107.9, the WVPS station out of Burlington, Vermont. And every 15 to 20 minutes, for 20 to 30 seconds, there was some pop music overpowering the station and then going away. So I thought that was kind of curious. Then I go on the Facebook group and I see somebody mentioning that he finds that there's some weird, funky propagation going on FM. He never heard stations further away than about 100 miles. Now he's hearing a station that's 1,000 miles away. I was curious. I had to turn on my radio and start tuning around. It's a little tough in Montreal because we don't have a lot of spaces where there's empty static just, you know, to get any stations. There's too many stations in the band already. Plus, you need a good radio in Montreal because all the stations are so powerful that most radios actually don't work well to DX. So my Sangean HDR14 is pretty good at it. It's that little HD radio that I purchased a couple of years ago. And I start tuning around, and I hear some stations, but on 96.5, I hear salsa music. And then I hear Spanish, and on the display, the RDS display says WOEX Orlando. And I'm super impressed. And at times, it came in for 3 to 4 minutes at a time, super clear, like if it was a local station here in Montreal. And all of that faded away about 30 to 45 minutes after I heard the station.
Welcome to the world of sporadic e-skip.
Yep.
The time that is right, the weather is right. There's lots of factors that kick this into gear. And often, even though if your band is crowded, sometimes, like you said, the Vermont public radio station is very strong here in Montreal. Yet when e-skip is intense, it can even black out local radio stations, and you'll have distant stations right on top of your existing stations if the propagation is intense enough. So it was a good period for it. I had to scramble to try to find a good radio on FM, though. I don't have really good ones for FM. I need to get into my car. That's my best FM radio, is the one in the car. And it has the RDS that IDs the station that pops up on the screen. So that's really helpful, too. That's a tool that, you know, we didn't maybe have in the past. That certainly helps when you're picking up these long-distance FM stations.
There are kind of two periods that are good for e-skip, and of course the summer solstice, and around the Christmas season, the winter solstice, are the two times where we can. But try it anytime, because sporadic e-skip can happen any time of the year, and that's why they call it sporadic.
There are a couple websites that people monitor and post up messages. We'll put some links up on our Facebook page where you can go and check those out, and, you know, just periodically go and look and see if there's activity, and then, you know, get to your radio, and you know, you might get lucky. Sometimes it'll last for a long time. Sometimes it's very short. It can sometimes go way up in the band, like you mentioned, some effect on 107.9. Sometimes it's down below that, like if you'll see it in the low VHF, 30 to 50 megs on 6 meters as well. So it's a really neat phenomena when it happens. Yeah. You just got to be in the right place at the right time for it.
One easy website to remember if you want to try it and see if something's happening, check out dxmaps.com. You have maps and you have different frequencies and bands, and you can see the activity on VHF range. It's really nice. So if you see that 6 meters has activity all over the place, and including where you live on the map, you can try the FM DXing. It might work, actually. So DXmaps. And what was happening with our sun, and by the way, sporadic e-skip is independent from the sun. It's another type of phenomena that happens when that happens. So our sun is rather quiet. There's three sunspot groups right now. Sunspot number at 40. Solar flux just below 100, so things have been quiet this week. There's been a little bit of geomagnetic activity. There was a geomagnetic storm on Tuesday, I believe. And we see that the sun is very active, but on the far side, there are several coronal mass ejections that have been visible. So maybe things are going to pick up in the next week or so. And there is a little solar wind from a northern coronal hole that could actually reach the Earth on July 6th. That could also create some instabilities in your radio listening experience. But you know what? Propagation is quite good. And there's only one way that you can really see what's happening or hear what's happening, and it's to turn on the radio and listen.
This is Janice of Dorval. The International Radio Report presents 30 minutes of news, information, and commentary on developments in the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Our next story, Gilles, you came across this article. It is from a gentleman named Tom Kent. It was an original work published by the Information Professionals Association, and they say, a disclaimer, opinions expressed by authors are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of or endorsement by the Information Professionals Association. I've never heard of that association to begin with, but it's quite an interesting story. It's very lengthy. We're not going to read through the whole thing. We will post up a link to it so you can read the whole thing, but we'll try to sort of summarize it for you. And it starts off by saying, as Vladimir Putin tightens his stranglehold on what his citizens see and hear, Will radio once again become an effective way to get outside voices into Russia? I think we already know that that's true.
Yes.
And this article goes into a lot of detail as to what's currently happening and what could be happening if people realized what they could do, and in some cases, doing it in a very affordable manner.
They are actually mentioning one of the U.S. agencies, the U.S. Agency for Global Media, that runs a lot of the shortwave outlets that are around the world. And there's a lot of money being pumped into that agency for things like Radio Free Asia, for example, or Radio Free Europe. And they're surprised that there's kind of a refusal on the part of that agency to put any shortwave outlets towards Russia or Ukraine. And they're mentioning that it costs $100 per hour and even less for them to have a program out, which is such a small amount when you think of the big budget that they have. And they are wondering why the agency itself doesn't seem interested. They have the impression, actually, the agency did reply back many times that they think that nobody's listening. And yet, they are mentioning, like, there's the Trans World Radio broadcaster, which is a religious broadcaster, that kind of mentioned at some point where they get hundreds of letters from Russia. And, you know, we were talking before the recording about there's numbers here. If you get a letter from a listener, we know that there's very few people that take the time to write. So if you get a letter, there's definitely more people than that letter. So hundreds of letters, there's at least thousands, if not tens of thousands of listeners. There's some equation in there.
They mention how many people are really out there to listen. 1% of Russian households, for example, with shortwave radios, works out to about 55,000 families in a nation of 144 million. Russia probably has 25,000 to 35,000 amateur radio hobbyists. They obviously have shortwave equipment for their ham radio. An unknown number of people probably still listen occasionally to shortwave stations from around the world. Inexpensive radios with shortwave bands can be easily bought online from Russian dealers. So, you know, this goes against some of the information that's being circulated out there of, you know, there are nobody out there with radios anymore and nobody's buying radios. They're, you know, why waste your time putting these programs on radio, on shortwave? We had a story last week of how AM transmitters are being shipped into the war zones to get stations back on the air for people who are, you know, maybe living without electricity, without water, without what have you, because of the situation in Ukraine. They may have a small portable radio with them, you know, and probably an AM, FM. And if the AM stations are put on the air with these transmitters, they have a much greater range than the FM stations. So you potentially could reach a lot more people with some of these AM broadcasts.
Many of them have been reactivated. Even Ukraine reactivated what they had shut down a few years ago on medium wave. And they're saying here, you know, AM radio signals can travel for a thousand miles or more at night, particularly. So you can actually send that news across the border when inside the border it's not possible to get the same news over the internet, where they've blocked off, you know, Russia's blocked off pretty much everything that talks against the Vladimir Putin. So, you know, to get real news, you need a radio. It's almost the minimum requirement. You know, they say here, for shortwave, the WRMI general manager, Jeff White, said stations has received messages from listeners in Russia and Ukraine indicating that the signals are getting through. So there are listeners.
Yeah. Now, we had talked in the past about a station, well, a shortwave venture called Radio Truth for Russia had been launched by Russian-speaking activists based in Europe. Government broadcasters in Taiwan, Romania, Japan, as well as the Vatican are also on shortwave to Russia. But there was an independent group that was raising money through a GoFundMe. Now, they've run out of money, and they were purchasing airtime to put actually Voice of America programming. Yep. on shortwave using WRMI shortwave transmitter site in Miami, Florida. Nice to hear that even though the money is run out, that Jeff White at the station, the general manager of WRMI, has decided to continue some of those broadcasts on his own dime, basically.
I think it's an indication that he also believes that people are listening and that it's needed to have these outlets so that the news gets through.
Yeah, and you know, we never know how many people are listening to any broadcast, really. So, you know, if it doesn't cost a lot and you have the ability to put it out there, why not do it?
Absolutely.
You know, so anyways, I think you'll find this article really, really interesting. There's a lot more to it that we don't have time to go into all of it here today, but we'll put up the link for it. You can have a read of it and do feel free to comment on it as well. We love to hear from you, you know, your opinions and your feelings on the situation.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We certainly do. We have contests going on over the weekend. The 13 Colonies stations are on the air as we speak, and I happened to hear a few of them this morning out of the U.S. We have the Canada Day contest has been running. Stations on the air for that were on July 1st. So we hope some of you had a chance to hear some of those. But coming up, we got a couple contests for you. Coming up on July 9th and 10th, 1200 Zulu to 1200 Zulu, July 9th to the 10th, organized by the International Amateur Radio Union and the American Radio Relay League, is the IARU HF World Championships. The objective is to support amateur self-training in radio communications, including improving amateur operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with other amateurs around the world, especially IARU member society headquarters stations. So they'll be operating 1.8 through 28 megahertz ham bands. The modes, both phone and CW, may be used. For the contest, you're asked to contact stations only once per band and mode.
There's the Straight Key Century Club that is having the weekend sprintathon, 12 Zulu July 9th to 23:59 Zulu July 10th. Participants may sprint on 160 to 6 meters, excluding the work bands. Mode is CW.
And finally, the QRP Amateur Radio Club International is organizing the Summer Homebrew Sprint. It's just 3 hours long, 2000 to 2300 Zulu, July 10th, 160 through 10 meters. It's CW, Morse code only, but also only QRP, so low-powered stations only.
Lots of stuff to listen to, and we are out of time.
We certainly are. We thank you for tuning in. As we said at the beginning, have a good holiday weekend, July 4th coming up in the U.S. Tune the bands. There could be a lot of pirate
activity.
Lots
of pirates, yes.
Any major holiday seems to bring the pirates out, so check all the usual spots for that. And there should be, you know, special programming coming up for some of the events, some other ham stations that will be operating for special events throughout as well. So have fun with your radio. And drop us a note, tell us what you've been listening to, or any comments you have on the stories. Would be great to hear from you. Radioreport@yahoo.com if you want to use email. And our Facebook group, International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday for the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye.
United Nations. are my sunshine, my only sunshine.